Magandang araw, Podmates! After 8 months of this podcast, I am happy to report that Spotify has named us one of the best new podcasts of 2021. Privately, they commended us for our uncommonly high retention rate, meaning many of our listeners stay until the very end of what is often an hour-long episode. But we don't do this for awards or recognition. We love this podcast for the chance to talk to people like our guest today, the maestro, Ryan Kayabyab, national artist, composer, pianist, and mentor of so many musical talents. Magandang araw sa'yo, Mr. C. Ryan Kayabyab.
Hi, hello, howie. Wow.
Mr. Salamat. I've been a long time fan, you know, and there's so many things I could ask you. I feel like I kind of grew up with your music, no? Pero yun nga, no, sa kabila ng daming pwedeng tanungin sa inyo, no? And then your career has been the history of modern music in the Philippines, no? But I need to start by asking, how have you coped during the pandemic, no? Paano kayo nakaraos ngayon napakahirap ng ating panahon?
Personally, I'm an optimist. So which means that whatever happens, I always look for things on the brighter side. I wasn't sure of what the lockdown was gonna do to my family and myself, and I wasn't also sure how long it was gonna be. So what I first did was enjoy actually my family's, we were together for a long time. Finally, you know, like we are together, because usually on a regular day or on a regular year, we would see each other siguro only for Sunday lunch, and probably once a week I'd bump into them. I mean, I'm talking about my
children. Well, just to refresh, Mr. C, your children are adults, no? So they, you know, I'm sure they have their own lives, no? So it might be unusual to have you all together in one place for a long period of time.
Last year, kasi my daughter just married. No? That was December of 2020. So which means that the early part of 2020, she was with us. And my son, who's not married yet. So I only have 2 children. So all of us were at home. And we kind of enjoyed each other's company. First time I watched a Korean drama. I've never done that before. You know, like we had to choose every night what to watch because there wasn't anything much to do at first. I'm saying at first because eventually things unfolded and there were many chances to do many things for our kababayans. For example, I got involved with Bayanihan Musikahan, which started basically about March. No, from March to May, all we did was work on doing concerts every other night or every night kung pwede, and enlisting volunteer artists to do home concerts. You know, we've never done that before. I mean, you know, like, nakakatawa kasi lahat ng mga artista na lumabas, mga singers, they had to learn how to set up their sound and get available light. This was like the first 2 months of the pandemic. They had to learn how to do that because alam mo naman sa industriya, if you are in a production, artists only are artists. They just stand there and sing, or I rehearse and I play. I don't bother with the lights and
kompleto yung suporta, in other words.
Yeah, the angle of the and everybody was just using their device, their phone. But you know, after a while, when the lockdowns were medyo more continuous, bought their own sound system, bought additional lights, and biglang nagkakaroon na ng concerts sa loob ng bahay nila, no? But, Howie, the problem was, walang remuneration, walang pera. We were just doing it. Everybody was doing it on a volunteer basis. And everyone was trying to do it kasi they have to express themselves. A lot of the musicians, artists, etc., cannot live without performing, without doing music, without singing, etc. So it was very difficult for a lot of the artists. Yun, in a nutshell, that's how it was.
Well, yun nga eh, kasi a big part of music is not just performance, no, and playing the music, but it's much of it is about interaction, no, with audiences and fellow musicians, no. So ang laki rin siguro ng pagkukulang, no. But yung sa Zoom, kasi that's another form of interaction. Sabi nyo nga, we're all discovering this for the first time, setting up at home for the first time. It's a new kind of interaction, no. Pero is it possible to have musical fulfillment that way?
No, not at all. Even in teaching, because I have a school, we're actually closed. Our physical school, our music school, is closed. We've been closed for more than a year and 7 months, and very difficult because economically, it's masama talaga. It's bad for we don't have as much revenues as we can. We tried going online, but you know, it's a survive lang. Even online, you know, teaching music, teaching people how to sing, very difficult. It doesn't have kasi the spontaneity, it doesn't have the wala yung ano yung human and personal touch, which in music is very, very important, because it's also a kind of information, you know, the ibinabato mo tapos kailangan ibato back to you, you know, like they have to react. The reaction and interaction is very important in music. Exactly what you said. I think it's still the most difficult thing to do, performing. And everybody said so, you know, they really expressed the same thing, because, you know, for the first time they were performing and they gave out a bravura performance. And after the song, walang pumapalakpak. It was strange, you know, for musicians and artists to perform and give their hearts out. Tapos walang palakpak, wala man lang. Tapos eventually we learned. We looked at the hearts coming, you know, flowing and the smileys and all that. But then it does not compare to the real deal, which is human action, interaction, and spontaneous reaction to a performance. That is the one that is sorely lacking, which is why I will tell you, I just had a performance last week and then this week also. Walang audience, but, you know, first time I was interacting with co-musicians and co-performers. Walang audience, pero for the first time, bumalik yung desire, bumalik yung happy, yung joy at creating music, collaborating with co-musicians and singers. Yun.
Anong klaseng event ito, maestro? I mean, sabi nyo nga, you collaborated but there was no audience. Was it a recording, rehearsal, or ano siya?
It was a live it was a concert for online streaming. So, and the strange thing, Howie, is that we recorded, our call time was 12 midnight. And we recorded until about 5 o'clock in the morning. Why? Because we had to record in a venue na wala, dapat walang tao, sarado yung. So we recorded in a beautiful atrium of Solaire, and it had a wonderful coffee shop with a it's not a coffee shop, it's a diner sa atrium nila na merong grand piano. So no one was allowed to stay inside, no. So that we had to, they set up at 10 o'clock p.m. and merong ano, production team, merong sound, lights, and guess what? We all had to have RT-PCR swabs and antigen blood samples because they had to make sure. Well, the only thing that made me really happy with the blood antigen is I found out that I have antibodies already for COVID too, and for SARS-CoV because of the vaccination.
Okay.
And then after that would be the swab for the RT-PCR to check if you have COVID-19 at the moment that they're swabbing you. But then that's it. I had fun. That was December 1. And then on December 9, I had rehearsals. In the morning, I had rehearsals with my group, the Ryan Gabyab Singers. We had a show last Sunday. It was a live streamed telecast to GK USA. So, meaning to say, it was emanating from here. I was the host of the show, and we were performing live here, and then binabato sa US, and the audience was basically USA, kasi GK USA siya. That happened on Sunday, but on Friday night was the opening of the Met, the launching of the Met Theater. I was there. Merong audience, for the first time we had an I performed. Well, I did not perform. I was just a guest because I did the new music for the Met, for the opening of Met. And I had the orchestra perform it with all the singers, big name singers, Celeste de Gaspi, Between Escalante, sila Mitch Valdez, sila Dulce, big names. Plus, you had the dancers of Ramon Ubusan, my group, the RCS. So we were on stage, and siguro kung ang capacity, siguro mga 2% lang capacity ng audience. So, but may audience, yung special audience lang. So, very motley crowd. Marinig mo, meron for the first time nakarinig kami ng applause. Pero ang ingay namin, ah, kasi audience din ako. Ako yung pinakamaingay na pumihiyaw. It was fun. Yeah.
Pag natapos ang pandemya, assuming na matatapos ito, no? Hopefully we all hope it will end very soon. Ano yung una niyong gustong gawin sa musika?
The lockdowns afforded me to write the most number of songs I've ever done in 1 year. I tell you, I must have written about 30 songs in just 1 year, 2010 to 2019, until the start of 2020. I must have written only about 3 or 4 songs. I'm talking about 2010 to 2019. Because in this period, Howie, from 2010 to 2019 and early 2020, I got into a lot of advocacy work. And the work entails, not the work, you know, the volunteerism that I joined in was, we went around the country and it was informal education for young songwriters. We were able to go around the country from 2010 all the way to about 2019 and joining young aspiring songwriters and teaching them tools on how to write music, how to write songs, teaching them tools on their rights, what are their inherent rights as creative artists, teaching them tools on how to promote their songs, how to connect with all these things about writing. So what are these groups? This was first the Elements Music Camp. We had an annual camp in Dumaguete. We sponsored 60 youngsters, young people. Well, they're not very young, 18 to 35 was the age group. This is all like scholarship. We do camp for 5 days. And big name songwriters came to volunteer, you know, give their time, give everything they know, and inspire these young writers. Talking about Gary Valenciano, Ebe Dancel, Noel Cabangon, all the name songwriters. And out of that, you know, out of that camp, lumabas, it's sila lang ngayon yung leaders ng music. Ben and Ben, Moira, Davey Langi, Tyro and Yumi, Lara Maige. These people now who are there up front, they all came from that camp. Plus the other camp, which is the PhilPop boot camp, because I also joined the Philippine Pop Music Foundation. This is like the Metropop of old, but this is called the PhilPop. So this is all about educating, all about training and giving tools to young, deserving, aspiring songwriters. So masaya. All this time, I had only been involved with teaching, educating, and promoting Filipino music. So that's why I hadn't been writing music. So from 2020 to 2021, I couldn't believe, because I had so much time in my hands and I had so much inspiration. And there were so many people asking me to write for causes. Much of that were for causes, for BGH, for two medical societies, for PAWS, you know, the group the group for it's a foundation for dogs and animal. That's it. You know, I had been writing for DOYM for another group. So many groups.
So during the pandemic, you've been very productive. Pero nagulat ako nung sinabi niyo, Maestro, na for almost 10 years from 2010 to 2020, tatlong kanta lang yung nagawa ninyo, no? Considering many people have see you as one of the most prolific songwriters, no? Tsaka yung range ng mga kanta nyo. I'm gonna ask you about some of these songs, no? Pero nagulat ako in 10 years, sabi nyo tatlong kanta lang yung nagawa ninyo, no? But that means in the previous decades before 2010, dun talaga yung bulk ng songwriting ninyo, no? But itong pandemya has actually been very productive for you in another way. In your original craft, no? One of your original crafts, which was songwriting and composition before you got into a lot of the advocacy work, no? So you've actually been going back to your roots in a way, your musical roots.
People are asking me what makes me happy. And I was teaching in UP for 20 years. So you can imagine that after I got out of UP, which was in 2021, I was an assistant professor at the UP College of Music. So this is like I go to classes every day, etc. Teaching education has always been probably first love, more than maybe you would say that you thought that maybe I just was in creating music and performing music. Teaching music has always been at the back of my mind. It's even if I had gotten out of the university, the advocacy work affords me to do what I love doing, and that was teaching. Which is why when you said I only wrote three to four songs in a decade, it was because I dabbled more into something that I loved doing, which was actually teaching. But this was very informal type of education. Mm-hmm. But you're teaching students, and I will tell you why, because I also have online classes. Every year I do two online classes, but this is only October, November. So I just finished two online classes. You know, those classes are so different from my classes in UP. And actually, I was just teaching the same modules I was teaching in UP. But these students who enrolled in my online classes, my gosh, they're so excited. They're always excited to come to class, and they have assignments, and they're so excited to present their works, because it's all about working and creating music. So, you know, my two-hour classes usually extends to 5 hours, and the best times would be extending it to 6 hours. So I was teaching for like 8 o'clock in the evening until 2 a.m. And they're saying, sir, ang dami yung energy. Ah. Teaching, you know, teaching is so different. Sa totoo lang, Howie, iba yung energy na nakuha dito sa online classes. It's different from performing. Teaching how to write, and it's so different from teaching how to sing or to perform. For me, mas effective yung teaching live. Teaching them and telling them, you know, how to do it, how to perform it. No, but creativity, in terms of writing, you have more time to think, you have more time to regurgitate, and you have more time to actually put things together when you're online. Kasi we meet only three times a week. And I noticed, I also told them, kasi paano hindi naman kayo naghahabol ng grades? Ang hinahabol nyo yung learning. Iba yung school eh. Yung mga pupunta, yung mga estudyatik sa university, many of them, I'm not saying all of them, many of them just breeze through the classes as long as they're present and as long as they pass, masaya na sila. It's so different because in these online classes, I had former students. I said, what are you doing in this class? You already got this in UP before. Sabi lang ganon, sir, nung nasa UP, Iba, hindi ko masyadong nag-gets. Hindi daw niya masyadong mag-gets niya. Naintindihan niya, pero hindi lang nag-gets yung fire, hindi lang nag-gets yung total idea, etc. etc. Of course, mm-hmm. it's because they also had other subjects. Eh, yeah. Itong online class na in-enroll nila, yun lang ang kanilang in-enroll. So, sorry, Javi, ang dal-dal ko eh.
No. That's a good take off to my next point, no? Kasi, you know, speaking of my own musical education, and I'm not a musician, not even an aspiring one, but I'm a listener and I'm very interested also in Philippine music. Ang una kong exposure sa inyo, yung sa inyong TV show, no? Ryan Musikahan, which ran for almost 10 years, I think, or from 1988 to the mid-90s, no? Yes, so you know, it was not I think ko doon, no, looking back on it. Of course, I was entertained, and dami pinakamahusay na mga musikeros and singers appeared on your show. But looking back on it, it was a musical education for me, you know, because it was pure, you know, puro Pilipino and a lot of it was in Filipino language. But just ano kasi marami tayong listeners na medyo not just even younger than millennials, no, we may need a refresher kasi kahit nagkaka-revival yung Ryan Musikahan, no, it wasn't in the same format, but just to refresh, it was a straight music show, no, nothing too fancy, it was mostly just you and your piano and a conversation with your guests, or minsan more than one guest, and just great singing. But what I loved about it, aside from the performances and the music, were the conversations. Eh. Dun lumawas din yung pagka-teacher ninyo, no? So, I didn't realize I was being educated in music, no? I thought I was just being entertained on Thursday nights. And it turns out na dami ko pang naalala. Dun sa, I remember your interaction with Joey Reyes one night and talking about the process of composing. And I know that he was a collaborator with you for a long time, but I wanted to ask you, looking back on that show, and I'm a big fan of that show. What did you like most about doing that show? Sabi niyo nga, 6 years yung ginawa.
Again, it was the spontaneity. You know, it was very easy to do. it was not work. It was so easy because all I did was we rehearsed. I rehearsed the singers. They chose the songs they wanted to sing. I rehearsed them and then take. And you know, it was easy because I asked the writer, don't give me long lines to memorize because it's very difficult to memorize. Just tell me what I'm supposed to do in each segment before the segment starts. Tell me what I'm supposed to say. I mean, what's the gist? What am I supposed to say? And I was gonna say it in my own words. It was simpler that way. So we got into doing something really more spontaneous. And alam mo, nakakatawa, Howie, lahat ng guests, bago sila dumating sa, you know, sa studio, they all say that they're so nervous. And they always say, sorry, wala akong boses ngayon. Sorry, inuubo ako. Sorry, sinisipon ako, ganyan-ganyan. Nagkakabiyak na agad sila. Hindi pa man kami nag-uumpisa. Kasi, you know, the Ryan Musikahan, the microphones do not lie. And they have, you know, each one has to sing very well or perfectly. They cannot make mistakes because I don't remember doing a take two. Most of the singers are so good, they don't make any mistake because they actually chose their songs. They were not, you know, it's not like in many of the maybe noontime musical shows, they have to learn it like last night and then they can't memorize it. So they have to rely on teleprompters. Dati, hindi ba, no? Ang teleprompters natin, hindi naman teleprompters. Ang tawag doon? They write it on Manila paper.
Parang idiot board. Yata ang tawag nila dati.
No, yeah, idiot board. We didn't have teleprompters for musicals. They were only for news, di ba?
But I have to say, no, ngayon na nabanggit nyo, it was so nerve-wracking pala para sa mga performers. It didn't feel like that as a viewer, no? Parang napaka-natural ng inyong conversation and interaction. And I didn't even feel it was scripted, no? Kasi pati yung pagharap nyo sa camera, it seemed very natural, no? And I didn't really sense na, I don't recall anyone doing singing badly kasi these were the top singers of their time, no? So for some reason na itago yung mga ganung klaseng kaba or possible glitches. Kasi ngayon, no, of course we all miss that kind of programming, no? Kasi apparently there's no show like it right now on free television, no? Correct me if I'm wrong, pero it seems like a cultural artifact, no? Ngayon it's everything so produced, you know, yung mga variety shows natin. It seems like viewers don't have the patience, no? Or my assumption na wala na siyang pasensya for, you know, like full, just, you know, just that kind of acoustic interaction and performance, no? Is there a need for this kind of show again? Because as I said, it was a way to educate the public, no? About music. It wasn't just entertainment. Or do we get all of that already from the internet?
Yeah, you get all of that in the internet. My take is, you know, Howie, it's a niche show. It's not a mass show. So I understand, you know, if you're running a network and you have a... Nung time kasi na yon, how it's... Hindi pa siya yung tipong cutthroat commercialism. So as a matter of fact, it ran for 6 years because it was considered to be in the late night show. But did you know that as the years went by, the late nights became also prime time show slots? So it was not like a late night show for late night viewers, but eventually, kinain ng prime time yung time na yon na hindi na siya late night. Kung gusto mo ng late night, edi mag-show ka ng 2 o'clock in the morning or 3. Eh, by that time, siguro sarado na yung ano, pinutol na yung ano, yung signal, yung broadcast signal. So, there was no time, there was no space anymore for niche shows like that because, truth to tell, it was not a type that would sell. Wala naman siyang ano eh, wala naman siyang sponsors. I mean, they would... Meron sigurong isa, dalawa, but that was enough perhaps to retain the show. But if you're a businessman, you're running a big network, you're not gonna put there something that's a losing thing. I understand that, which means that ang problema lang is the people do not have choices anymore because every show is being done for commercial purposes, because they have to sell the slots, they have to I mean, you know, business eh. So parang yes. Nakapwera lahat ng pwedeng outside the business kasi sa, ang thinking is eh kasi hindi naman yan ang audience namin. It's always been like that. Hindi naman yan ang audience, hindi kinakagat ng audience. Ang audience is nila baduy. Kailangan may clickbait.
I understand, but you know, despite all of that, no, tumagal pa rin siya ng 6 years. That's a long time for a so-called niche program, no? But I wanted to say, it's that one thing that you've done in your career, no? Na parang kinokombine niya lahat ng mga passions mo, no? Yung bilang musician, and then also a music educator, no? So you're entertaining, but at the same time, you're educating people, and then you gave a voice, not just a singing voice to your guests, but you enabled them to explain their craft, no? Actually, to be honest, I was just as interested in the conversations as I was in the actual singing, no? Kasi yung kanta naman, pwede mo naman pakinggan yung mga CD or baka mga panahon, yung mga plaka pa, no? But the conversations, like, I had, to be honest, I think that was the first time I actually heard Sharon Cuneta speak off the cuff, no? And she was very young at that time, and she was, but she had a beautiful voice, of course. But just talking to you, parang okay, may na-pick up akong bago tungkol dito sa napakahusay na babaeng ito, no? So in that way, it was niche, but it was actually unique, and that's why we're talking about it today.
Yeah, you know, many of them, they're very smart. Intelligent sila Sharon. Maybe people don't see it because pinapatweet times na siguro siya sa kanya mga palabas. But the girl has something there in her head, like many, many, many others. Sila Celeste, sila Basi. You know, these are malalalim ang mga kaisipan. Kaya lang since walang chance for them to express themselves only in performance, well, sa totoo lang, nakikita naman sa performance yung intelligence nila eh. No? Even sila, Ku, sila, all of them, sila Gary, sila yes. Martin, my gosh. They stay mm-hmm. because they have something there in their sa utak nila. Marunong sila, nag-iisip sila, hindi sila basta kumakanta lang. And many others, even the rock performers, rock singers, mm-hmm. my gosh, they won't stay if they didn't have anything there aside from their mm-hmm. talent. Ang daming mm-hmm. magaling. And the Philippine music landscape is really dotted with so much talent and so many intelligent people. I believe that to be a really good musician, to be a really good talent, a performer, kailangan meron ka talaga din nung may utak ka din. Hindi lang siya basta-basta.
Yeah, and you've devoted a big part of your career to making sure that's developed. No, I mean, if I may quote yung nabigyan kayo ng Magsaysay Award in 2019, no? Kasi you were cited for, among other things, quote, no, your indomitable, undeterred confidence to selflessly seek, mentor, and promote young Filipino musical genius for the global stage, no? So you got this international award for your teaching and your education, no? And but this didn't come by accident. Unang bahagi pa lamang yan ng ating pag-uusap kasama ang maestro Ryan Cayabyab. Listen in for part 2 para mas makilala pa siya at ang kanyang musika.